Welcome back. Today I'd like to talk to you again about some things that I pray will really help you kind of make sense of how God again wants to grow you and I up, how he's designed us. He's even called us to live a life that honors him and glorifies him, that when people see us, and I say this with all humility, when people see us, they see him. The old phrase, we might be the only Bible people read, should cause us a little pause, because I know about me, can't say about you, but I know that I'm like, Lord, you do better than I can do, so you know, you kind of take care of those things. But you know, God wants to help grow us up. He wants to grow us up in faith and in hope again and in love. And I pray that every day you'll keep asking and seeking. Your desire to grow in him, I believe, comes from him. He's wanting to spend time with you. Your thoughts to open up your Bible and start reading, or maybe to be praying for someone. I think that's the Lord working in us and helping us, again, grow in him. But again, remember, he wants us to flourish as well. And flourishing doesn't happen just in a moment. Flourishing happens time and time again as we continue to surrender, as we continue to seek the Lord, as we continue to let him do the deep work that we so desperately need. In that work, one thing that I felt, again, just a burden for, especially for this year, and maybe I'll let you know when I don't feel this, but that our best comes out of when we serve out of a reservoir, that when we lift up our hearts to him and he does this deep work, and on a continual, consistent basis, over and over again, he fills us up, and we serve out of that overflow, that it's not just about us, again, knowing all the right things or doing even all the right things, you know, all on our own, but it's about, again, this cultivation that God is doing in us, that it's the fruit of God's work in us, that we're bearing that fruit. We're, you know, apple seeds bear apples, right? Okay. And that's what he's doing in us. He's working in us so that we can have lives that are set apart, dedicated to him, that other people can be encouraged and live into. And today I want to look at how 2 Thessalonians really invites us to see a really new church that's struggling, that's got some challenges, that this church is a church that was really leaning into what Paul was doing early on, and they're experiencing some persecution. He's trying to comfort them. He's trying to inspire hope, to help them continue to run the race, to be faithful in what God's been doing in them. And so, you know, keep going and look to what Jesus did and look to what I did. And so he's showing them, you know, and trying to, you know, give this example to help them really live into being the people of God, the family of God. And so, you know, a couple things that you know, I think are important, these themes and images that I'll unpack here in a second, you know, but, you know, you can't help but notice how many times peace is mentioned in this text. Grace, that he gives direction to help them know where to continue, and then he gives correction to help them draw them back so they can, again, be more faithful in their following the Lord. But big picture ideas is, again, how we're a family, that God is unleashing this, in his new creation, this family that the Messiah has called to himself, and we actually are part of this family as well. And so it's wonderful that we can actually play a part, that the work that he's doing in me and in you is to help us be the people he's called us to be. And so how can we work through some of those challenging family moments that we're all going to have at times? Things that you prefer or things that I prefer, are they really what is all about God's mission? Are they really about the things that really burden, that should be burdening our hearts in mission for our community, in the work, again, that God wants to do in us and through us? And so those are big questions that we need to wrestle with as a church. Another big theme that we see here is this call again of being faithful, because know that Jesus is going to return. He's going to set the world to rights. Sometimes, and even some translations have this kind of like picture that's like vengeance. And the word, the English word vengeance really doesn't represent the Greek word, I think, accurately. justice, again, is a better word for it. Justice is that, again, that setting things right the way that they were always intended to be. Like if it was a broken bone, we set it right so it can then be what it was always supposed to be in the first place, or to return back. And that justice is, he's like, listen, the things that you're experiencing, God will put things back together the way they're supposed to be. The challenges you're facing, some of them, most of them aren't what you ever asked for, and yet you're experiencing this. Don't lose hope. Jesus is going to return. And so there was some like misunderstandings. There was some misinformation even. They were thinking like, hey, Jesus is coming back. We don't even have to even get a job anymore. We're just going to sit back and wait. And then they're like, well, did the day of the Lord come? And all these different things are going on in 2 Thessalonians. And you're like, okay, wait a minute, time out. Kind of thing. So I'll unpack that here in a second. But Jesus' return is very prominent in both the first letter of Thessalonians and second. And then the third real big again theme for these two letters is holy living. Now, holy living isn't being super spiritual. Holy living is when we live a life that's set apart for God. That believe it or not, it's not just people that are called pastors or reverends. It's not just people that are officers in a church or anything like that. Every one of us is called to be set apart. If you have breath in your lungs, you've been called to be holy. If you have been in this thing called life and you still are walking around, God desires that we live a life to him that honors him, that brings him pleasure. And as we bring him pleasure, we will discover that we will experience freedom and pleasure ourselves. And so this holy living is big. So let me just kind of break down Thessalonians. It's not 2 Thessalonians in a short way, but just kind of be clear here. First one is Jesus is coming, okay? And so he's like, you know, don't forget. He gives thanks for him. He encourages him. He's like a dad again with this new family. He's trying to encourage them and help point the way forward and stuff. But he's heard things aren't going well, and so he's having to, you know, reconnect with this group. And so Jesus coming is important, but he's like, listen, don't lose hope. God is at work. Keep staying focused. Keep being the people God's called you to be. Then he kind of enters into this kind of a big picture, long future view kind of thing, not just in the present, but in the big picture wise of this lawless one, this one that kind of represents evil incarnate, this one that's not necessarily a specific person, in my opinion, reading the text, but like kind of like the type of person that really lives out what it means to be evil and has great reach. You know, when it comes to the 20th century, we would say Hitler would be an easy one that would be fit this lawless one kind of thing. They had several Caesars, several other governors and leaders of that time period in that arena, in that area of Thessalonica, that you could appoint it to. He might be referring to this lawless one, might be them. And I think he did that on purpose. I think he's trying to say, listen, no matter where you're at, no matter what time, let alone space, that God is still going to set things back to rights. That there's going to be a judgment day, and we're going to need to surrender and submit, and all people will get things put back the way they were supposed to be. And that's encouraging, but the challenge sometimes is this has become like part of like people's theories of like, oh, this is like a handbook for the end times, or you know what the end's going to look like. And I don't know if it's really that. I don't really get that. I think if you want to read that, you'll find some things in there. But I think it's not necessarily that's his focus in any way. And then he talks about in this lawless one after this that you know, stand firm in him. That find our hope and our strength in him, not in what someone else did, not in what we can accomplish, but in what God is doing in us and through us. Where do we need to really think through some of the teachings? Do we understand the story of God and how we fit into it? And so he's like, listen, if you need to know it and stand firm in it. And the offensive weapons we use is a thing called prayer and love. And those are the things those are the two weapons, the instruments that Paul kind of points out that we really need to lean in and say, Lord, you know, help me to have a heart to love this person through this, even if they're an enemy, even if they're persecuting you, you know, kind of thing, what that looks like. And in chapter 3, he really unpacks this kind of how important it is. He asked them to pray for him and for what God's doing, but he's like, listen, I'm praying for you as well. And so he tries to help lay out, listen, these are some healthy ground rules for what it means to be family. And so he tries to help lay out, listen, there's some things that you need to do. And he even, you know, causes this or points out to this one aspect where he's like, listen, if the family of God is not being a healthy family, then you need to ask that family member, you need to kind of give them a time out, like stay away from them. Not because they became your enemy, but because you're hoping that in that way of kind of letting them, you know, maybe we need to invite you to take a season off so that you can really deal with what you need to deal with the Lord and then come back in the family. I wonder how that would work with us today, because I think it's something that we need to really think through and process. What would it look like if there was an unhealthy person in our church family and that we said, you know what, I think you're missing what God wants to do in your life. And not judgmental, trying to, you know, make the person feel bad. This isn't in any way, again, making them a person that's just, oh, we don't care about them anymore. We're not, you know, God's going to say, woo. This is a person that needs to experience God's love, but through correction. And the correction, again, given is to help them come back, kind of bring them back into that fold and help them realize how important it is to be this family that God's created. So one aspect I'd really like to spend time with us for the rest of our time together is this one little small section. It's just a couple scriptures found here in 2 Thessalonians, and it's in the first chapter. And it's just this beautiful, beautiful verse. And I hope it will connect with you. I hope it'll challenge you, but also in a way that challenges you in a way that just helps you to be reminded of the great calling God has put upon us. And so it's good, it's challenging, but it's so important. It's so important that we live in this way. So let us live worthy in a way that honors God. So he says this, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. Make you worthy of his calling. Notice who's the one that's making us worthy. It's not us trying harder. It's not us having again all together. No, it's the Lord's work in us, changing us, transforming us, giving us a new heart. He is the one who makes us holy. We don't get to be with God forever because we've checked all the right boxes. It's because he's called us his own. It's, we're his son or we're his daughter. We're his. And he is ours. And that is just amazing. That's what's one of the most amazing, most radical things about Jesus and what he taught and how he called us to live. And Paul is challenging this church to be the people God's called them to be. But we don't, again, it doesn't happen overnight. To be set apart to God doesn't mean, again, that everything in your life is perfect. In fact, I'll let you in on something. When you start to pray, Lord, help me to be the person you want me to be. Help me to be holy. Help me to reflect your light and your love. He will do that. And there's a lot of unhealth that he's got to work through for us. There's some things that he's got to break even. There's this illustration of when Jesus takes the bread and breaks it and gives it to his disciples. We see this in this thing called the Lord's Supper, which again, we'll be celebrating communion next week, but he breaks that bread and gives it to them. Well, one time he's feeding this 5,000 group of people, right? And he takes what's there, these a couple fish and some loaves of bread that some kids lunch, and takes it and breaks it, and then it can be used. And I think we're in that same situation that God says, for you to really be used, for you to be the people I meant for you to be, to really lean in to what I have for the rest of the world, there's some things I got to work out of you. I got to work into you. And we shouldn't be afraid of that, though. That's the thing. Sometimes we hear that and we go, ooh, I don't want that. That's kind of, stay over there. We want a safe Jesus, right, that just kind of makes us feel good but lets us do our own thing. That's not what the scriptures teach about who this Jesus is. And he won't be satisfied with that. And we don't want him to be satisfied with that. We need him to pour his spirit, his grace in us, and again, make us holy. The text continues. And that by his power, he may bring to fruition your every desire. Now, it's like, if that's where it ended, we'd be like, whoa, man, I can just... He goes on. Every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. Those things that we feel a burden to influence, impact, serve in the name of the Lord, those are the things, again, that he's doing by his power. Not by our power, but by his power. So how can we cooperate with the Lord? Well, first things first, I think we got to realize it's by his grace again. That again, it's not just, God's not just trying to take us somewhere else. He wants us to experience life with him now. And you and I can do that. And it's just simple as praying a simple prayer saying, Lord, I need more of you. I need less of my brokenness. You help me to be all that you want me to be. I'm not talking just some nice slogan. I mean, really, Lord, I need it. But again, know that it's his grace. And it's so freeing to come into his arms and to know that he has called you and I to be his. As Paul continues to write, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. The name of the Lord Jesus, that Jesus would shine through us for his glory. See, it's by his grace and it's for his glory. We've all been called by him, to him, and for him. And Paul is helping working this out and seeing how this plays out in everyday life. He's like, you've been called, but you can't do it on your own. You need God's power working in you. We're praying that he would glorify himself in you, that his power would work through you, that you would bear fruit, that these deeds of love and of being prompted by faith, these good deeds would be so evident to others, that we don't have to have a megaphone saying and preaching, you know, X or Y or Z. No, we have to be ready to give an account, to share the hope that we have in Jesus when asked and when prompted. But our lives should be those things that people go, there's something different there. There's something that they seem to have a joy. There's something that I don't know what they're talking about. Also, what that does for the whole church family is that it helps encourage and inspire each other to keep, again, staying focused, standing firm, being, again, the people God's called us to be. And see how we're, again, called, we're glorified, okay? God glorifies himself in us so that, and you in him, so that God works in, this isn't just a one-directional, it's back and forth. It's a dynamic relationship, a relationship that you and I can enjoy and participate in. According to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, by his grace and for his glory. And it's just a great little challenge for us to remember that we've been called to be holy. That this holiness that again, we're called into is something that we can actually play a part in. It is by his power. It is by his grace. But we have this power called choice. Will we work with him? Will we surrender more to him? Will we lean in? Will we not be afraid and enjoy the time we have with him? See, being consecrated is taking our hearts or our lives or what we so desire and turning it over saying, Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be a part of what you're doing. So I know you need more, you got more work to do in me. So help me to be open to that. And by the way, this never stops. There are seasons where this time of consecration might be more evident, or we might be pulled, challenged by the Lord to lean in more in these, and that's fine, that's great. But know that it's not a one-time boop and we're done and never again. There are these seasons. It's voluntary, it's relational, but it's our responsibility to surrender. It's our responsibility to seek him out. But I think that, again, comes from the Lord already working in us and wanting to do that, longing, putting that longing for us to want that. Let me give you kind of just a real quick image of this. It's just short, but what would it look like for us that as we prepare for God's work to be done in us, for his work to help us become holy, this preparation, this consecration, kind of like if we would raise the sails, ready to catch the wind on a boat, off the water. If we raise the sails, we don't make the wind, right? We're not manipulating this. We're not forcing this. We're just trying to be ready for God's work to come in us and then work through us. And that's our number one responsibility in our relationship with the Lord. We pray not so to convince God to do something. We pray so that our sails might be lifted up, that we might be open and receptive so that God can work through us. This thing called prayer is something that sometimes I think we get really confused a lot about. So that's our part again. I talked a little bit about last week, but so if you missed any of that last week, I'd like to invite you to go check it again from our website, on our Facebook page and stuff. But this I just want to kind of lay on this part, that for us to become holy, there's got to be a change. We can't change our own hearts. We can't be the ones to make it. Only God can change our hearts. And so as we raise the sails, as we seek intimacy with Him, faith and hope and have an expectancy to this relationship, we're going to experience His joy. We're going to experience His work. And a lot of times we don't see the change immediately, but there's this work that He's doing. And it's our job to be responsive to that. The best way I can put it is this, that we first need to focus on being in His presence. The intimacy with God precedes that true transformation and even having that thing, something called spiritual authority, to be able to actually have the power to live out the life God's called us to live. It's not that we become super Christians, right? There's no such thing. But man, we shine brighter because God just shines through us brighter. And it's our job again to cooperate with Him, to sacrifice maybe something. Maybe we get too wrapped up in social media. Maybe we need to take a break from social media. Maybe we take a fast even. That's a nice little spiritual word, biblical word, concept that we stop something so that we can, instead of using our time for X or Y or Z, whatever that something may be, we focus in on the Lord. And consecration typically costs something, like emotionally or something that we really value. And we're like, ooh, that's I don't know if I want to do that. You know, it's okay to share that with the Lord, be like, ooh. But I encourage you, in fact, I implore you, don't be afraid. If the Lord leads you to maybe step back from, I like to say, the Facebook or something else like that, lean into it. Be open to it. Maybe He's saying, you know, for a season, TV or something like that, or whatever takes a ton of your time. What can you do to block off some time so that you can just focus, raise the sails, have that intimacy with the Lord? There's this wonderful text where in one of the Gospels that we've read together as a church, but there's this wonderful text where the disciples are up on this Mount Tabor where they're seeing this, it's called the Mount of Transfiguration kind of sometimes. So, but this time where the three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, are brought before Jesus and on this mountaintop, and they have this like meeting, right? Like there's like this moment where God like comes in a powerful way and like sees like these biblical heroes, and like it's just like they're like, what just happened, right? Like they're like, oh my goodness, right? They're like, they don't even know what to do. They're like, maybe we should build like an altar for this, like a monument. This was great, Jesus. You know, you just get this like kind of feel like they have no clue what to do with it. What's interesting is to see the stark contrast between that moment and as they walk down, they run in, they meet with the other disciples, and these disciples are there talking with each other, and you can see that there's something wrong. They have been called to and sent out to bring healing, to preach this God's work and justice coming and this new kingdom that it was coming to bear and all these great things. They were even given this like authority to like cast out demons and stuff. And all these things going on, and here they are, and they're kind of like reconnecting. And Peter, James, and John have had this amazing moment, right, with Jesus. They're like kind of, you know, cloud nine. They're glowing. And then they have these other disciples there that are like, okay, like we couldn't cast out some of these demons. Like we didn't know what to do. And Jesus says like this, you know, well, some things require greater prayer, like more prayer. And I don't think he was saying you didn't pray right. I really don't. I think he was really saying to use God's power, you need to be more in God's presence. I think that those disciples were still trying to, had maybe gotten good at doing their ministry, doing their work, and they were relying on their own strength and their own power. And that's a great error that we should really pay attention to. It's so important that we lean into being in God's presence and from there serve out of that. The world will not design your schedule so it works like that. You have to make a choice for that. And I just want to encourage you that if you really do want to grow, if you want more of God working in you and through you, then don't be afraid of being in his presence. I hope that encourages you. I hope that challenges you, but knowing that it's more than just having a checklist. Like, I prayed today, I did this, I did that, great. If our relationships were just about checklists, they would not be very healthy. We're talking, again, the creator of the universe says, I want to spend time with you. I want to know you. And I hope that all of us will lean more into that and be the people God's called us to be. Heavenly Father and Holy Spirit, we ask that you would bless our hearts, our minds in you. Help us to desire and to organize, to order our lives so that we may have more time, quality time, being in your presence. Help stoke the fires. Help us to raise the sail so that we may catch the wind that you have for us, so that we can have the energy, the power, the strength to, again, be the people you've called us to be. Thank you for this church in Thessalonica and the challenges they face, Lord. Thank you for Paul and his ministry there, how it still impacts us today. Lord, help us again be open and learn and grow from this. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In your name, amen. The final word is this. What you hope for is what you tend to live for, right? What you hope for is what you live for. And Thessalonians has got this, again, this trying to correct some of their thinking, their misunderstanding of Jesus coming back, that it's not to scare us, it's to actually provide hope that in spite of persecution, in spite of things not going the way we had hoped or prayed or planned on, God will not be thwarted, that justice will come and we can count on him. So again, what do you hope for? Is your hope that, again, vengeance, or your hope justice? Are you hoping that God would work in you and through you in a way that just really invites others to be seeking that out as well? I hope that challenge you. What you hope for is what you tend to live for. A couple things, just real short. Your homework, not a lot, is again to read our new letter, our new thing that we're going to be going through again in the New Testament, is another letter by Paul, who wrote like a third of the New Testament, so wrote a lot. Is again 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 4. Chapters 1 through 4, you're going to, again, he's, Paul at different times, you know, puts on different hats, okay? And this, you know, here he's been more of a kind of a dad pastor kind of thing. You're going to truly see his pastoral heart in Corinthians. And so if you've ever had a bad church experience, or you ever thought church really missed the mark at times, you're going to like Corinthians, because you're going to go, whoa, we were never that bad. And so be encouraged. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to grow a lot. But know that it's so much bigger, and it's good stuff, really good stuff. So now see the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you go, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you next week.